would you pray with me, please? Lord, when we are honest with you and with ourselves, we admit that understanding eludes us. We admit that we hate the way our world works and that we mistrust you too much of the time. We struggle to believe in your goodness and grace, if we even believe in you at all. We hate that it is hard to live here, and we hate the pain and suffering in our lives and in our world. Somehow, some way, O Lord, shed your light on our hearts. Help us in our unbelief and our mistrust. We need you to light our way, even if it's just a glimmer. We need you to light our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard the expression, the cold shoulder? It's an interesting expression, isn't it? There was a time when giving someone the cold shoulder, though, meant more than simply snubbing him or her. During the Middle Ages, if your guests had overstayed their welcome, you served them a big shoulder of cold beef rather than a nice hot roast. And with any luck, they would get the message and leave. The English language has other curious idioms. How about bringing home the bacon? Anybody heard bringing home the bacon? It now means that you come home with a paycheck, but it used to be understood much more literally. In the 12th century, a church in Britain awarded cured bacon strips to newly married couples if they could pass a particular test. They had to swear after 1 year of marriage that they had never once regretted the decision. If they made the grade, they could bring home the bacon. All of this is a prelude to the cliche before us today, the patience of Job. Anybody heard that said before, right? The idea comes from the Old Testament story of Job, the tale of a poor soul from the land of Uz, described in today's scripture lesson as a man who was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from all evil. Despite his moral and spiritual perfection, or perhaps because of it, Job is subjected to a supernatural test in which he loses his property, his children, and his health. And he's challenged to retain his integrity and to remain faithful to God. The commonplace term about Job's patience comes from the letter of James. You know that book that we just finished last week? The author says, "We call blessed those who show endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Oddly enough, the word patience doesn't appear anywhere in the book of Job. But no matter. Conventional wisdom argues that the patience of Job enabled him to endure suffering as he kept his faith in God. He took the long view of life, looking well beyond his considerable losses, and because he was able eventually to experience the compassion and the mercy of God. But that didn't come till the end of the book of Job. So, is this true to the story of Job? is patience really part of the story of Job? Well, not exactly. There are many adjectives that can be used to describe Job, but patience is not one of them. Blameless, upright, faithful, long-suffering, steadfast, honest, yes, all of those adjectives work, but Job does not bear his affliction calmly as a patient person would. Instead, in chapter 10, he cries out, "I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." Far from showing cheerful endurance, in chapter 17, Job screams, "My spirit is broken. My days are extinct. The grave is ready for me." And then in chapter 23, he moans, "God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face." He's an honest man, but a patient man? No. There are many life-changing lessons to be found in the story of Job, but patience is not one of them. It is more fruitful to focus on several other messages that are delivered with far greater clarity. Messages about the nature of suffering and the importance of faithfulness to God. These are not cliches like the patience of Job, but are instead insights that leave us with something truly nourishing to chew on. A focus on suffering and faithfulness enables us to read Job and then, well, to bring home the bacon. First, there's the nature of suffering. The book of Job makes it clear that not all human suffering is deserved. It is not necessarily a punishment for a life of beer or brawls or fornication or impurity or passion or greed. No, Job is a righteous man, described by God as being blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil, and yet he loses his property to raiding Sabaeans and Chaldeans, and his sons and daughters die in a natural disaster. And as if this was not painful enough, he comes down with those loathsome sores that cover him from head to toe. Job is an absolute mess, leaving onlookers to wonder, "I wonder what he did to deserve that." The answer, of course, is nothing. This intense suffering simply descends on Job through no fault of his own. Jesus himself knew that suffering was not necessarily deserved. Jesus observed more than 1,000 years later that God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We should never be quick to conclude that anyone deserves the suffering that they experience. Anyone, including ourselves. Gerald Sitzer was a history professor with a wonderful family. Sadly, his wife, his 4-year-old daughter, and his mother were all killed in a car accident caused by a drunk driver. Sitzer's life had been going very well, but then in one horrible moment, he lost 3 of the most precious people in his life. His suffering was compounded 8 months later when the driver of the other car was acquitted of vehicular manslaughter. The defense attorney was able to cast enough suspicion on the testimony of several witnesses that he was able to get his client off the hook. Sitzer was enraged. But then he began to be bothered by his assumption that he had a right to complete fairness in his life. He said, granted, I did not deserve to lose three members of my family, but then again, I am not sure that I deserved to have them in the first place. His wife was a woman who loved him through some very hard times. His mother lived well and served people to her life's end. His daughter sparkled with enthusiasm and helped to fill his home with noise and excitement. Perhaps I did not deserve their deaths, he concludes, but I know I did not deserve their presence in my life either. We should never be quick to conclude that people deserve the suffering they experience. But at the same time, we should never jump to the conclusion that people deserve their blessings either. Job makes much the same point when he asks in today's reading, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? The second clear message of Job is that faithfulness to God is of critical importance in bad times as well as good times. Gerald Sitzer did not turn his back on God after his family was killed by the drunk driver, nor did Job abandon the Lord in his time of overwhelming loss. It is essential that we not give God the cold shoulder when we encounter a period of undeserved suffering. Can we scream and yell at God? Sure. I will not restrain my mouth, shouts Job in the 7th chapter. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. There is nothing wrong with offering up a passionate and honest complaint as long as we direct that complaining to God. This summer, we visited our son's family in Wasilla, Alaska. Our 7-year-old granddaughter, Haley, was, I hope it's past tense, having trouble appropriately dealing with her frustration and anger. And she was taking it out on her 4-year-old little brother. So now, when she has a meltdown, she's encouraged to stomp her feet, to yell or to cry, provided she is not hitting or kicking anyone and is safely away from her brother. We would tell her, it's okay, you can be angry. Use your words. Express your feelings. And fortunately, the method seems to be working, and she's stopped endangering Seth, whom she really does adore. It's okay to express our emotions. It's okay to be angry. It is not okay to abuse or to harm other people or to scare them. Job deals with his frustration appropriately. He grabs hold of the Lord like a dog with a bone, and he won't let go until God responds to him. What saves Job is that he remains faithful to God, always demanding that God hear him and take him seriously and respond to his concerns. In the end, Job hears a word from God and is ultimately satisfied. In chapter 42, he concedes, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. At least he finds a sense of peace in his relationship with God, if not a list of neat and tidy responses to all of his many unanswered questions. The same can be true for each of us. Like Job, our challenge is to accept both the bad and the good, but to remain in close contact with God through every twist and turn of life, never turning from God, never giving God the cold shoulder. Ultimately, we'll find that it is an honest and intimate relationship with God that saves us and puts us in a position to discover true serenity and peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.